This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to the second part of the two-part crossover episode of Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set, recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. You may have heard part one last week. If you haven't, you can stop now and go back and do that. As the evening progressed, we had lots of audience questions, which is one of the best parts of recording in front of actual people. Dylan Thomas is a co-host, producer, and editor of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Through podcasts, social media, conferences, and in communities, he speaks candidly about non-monogamy, kink, and non-normative sexuality, and offers platforms for people to speak on gender identity, equal rights, and intersectionality. He strongly focuses on offering learning opportunities to men with the hope that they become stronger allies and better people. Ginger Bentham is co-host of Life on the Swing Set and also the other podcast, Intellectual Foreplay. As a sexcation provocateur, Ginger hosts swing setters from around the world in paradise for education, fun, and relationship enhancement. She's a queer polyamorous kinkster living the dream with her love, Prof. While writing, presenting, and podcasting, Ginger seeks to advance the progress of the next sexual revolution of total sex positivity through mindful, loving connection. Cooper S. Beckett is the author of the novels Osgood Is Gone, A Supernatural Mystery, A Life Less Monogamous, and Approaching the Swingularity. He's also the author of the memoir My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory. He's the co-founder and host of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, which has been on the air since 2010. He gives talks on swinging, polyamory, pegging, play parties, and coloring outside the boundaries of your sexuality. He is proudly queer and non-monogamous and an unabashed social justice warrior. So that's the group. Let's take a listen. I used to go to this BDSM club called The Vault in the Meatpacking District of New York City. Shout out to The Vault. Anyone who's out there clapping right now in the universe. Very, very old school. And so, and anyone was allowed in there. And so, so some single cis men would come just to watch, like for purely just to watch. And I'm there, you know, to be watched, right? So otherwise I would do this in my living room. So there's like, there's a single man in the corner watching my scene jerking off, right? And I'm like, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. Thanks so much. And then like 10 minutes later, there are 15 single men. They're no longer in the corner because there isn't even that much space. So now they're like,
and they have to stand apart.
They're right there, right? I'm like playing with someone here. They're right there and they're all jerking off. And so, and this is the thing. I don't want to shame people. I really need to make this clear. I don't want to shame people if their sexuality is voyeurism and solo play, right? I don't want to shame that at all.
No.
But in our sexist patriarchal culture, when this whole pack of naked men grab their dicks at once, they take up a significant amount of space. And I mean physical space and psychic space.
Yeah.
They create a certain vibe that becomes about them and not even about the people who are playing. And that can be really off-putting to folks.
And so every scene where you, even if you are not participating in the scene, if you are watching or masturbating, you are still part of that scene and you still need to get permission from the people in that scene to do that thing.
Yeah, this was like New York in the 90s.
I'm saying now.
Right. What I would offer about that as well is when you have that accrued energy, it's and the sexism, the patriarchy, all of that, you have to go to a place of, I have to then be hyper aware of my own consent culture within me. Like, I have to dot my I's and cross my T's and say, am I too close with my cock in my hand? Am I too close? If I am. And the second I've been in a space where on an air mattress at a swing thing where it was one, then it was like everybody, it was like a fence of, you know, hard cocks around. And I was like, I need everyone to back up. Yeah. And what I'm doing here is really fun and sexy for me. And it turned into less fun and sexy because all of a sudden I don't have my personal space. And a fair portion of people did that. And I was like, I feel okay. Like, we're good. Like, we're good. The ones that I was over and out because of the two gentlemen who were like, not gentlemen, the two. I was like, assholes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, pick a word. I was like, I'm out. So the rest of those cis men were like, oh, damn. Like, okay, well, you know what? And that's to your original point of the past history of you have to be hypervigilant with your consent as that person.
We have another. Oh, we have a line for questions now.
You mentioned something early on that I identified with. I'm recently out bi plus. I have had a lot of difficulty managing here in Chicago. I've found a lot of microaggressions within a community I'm supposed to belong to.
Yeah.
And so it's kept me from finding non-monogamous relationship, or we were at Kinkfest. We saw you at Shebop and it was great. And it was like, oh my God, this is what it should be.
Yeah.
But I come back home and it's like, well, fuck. What do I do? It's been hard for me to manage, like, managing expectations. I don't want to go out there and be like, just came back from Portland. I'm a fucking stud. Try not to have my feelings hurt. How would I manage that?
There are wonderful people everywhere. Unfortunately, sometimes the signal to noise ratio is higher. I can tell you that my version, my current version of non-monogamy is greatly informed by this man over here, Chris Penn, because he started throwing queer play parties, whereas I was throwing swinger parties. And I mean, it doesn't sound like a big difference, but if you've been to a swinger party, generally it's a bunch of couples, maybe a few unicorns, and that's it. And what was really wonderful about going to a more queer environment, and why, like, our desire trip is, it's a queer trip, is because I find that queer people have had to deal with a lot. You know, traditional swingers often are just doing this on the weekend, so their regular life is often the privileged upper class life of white people. But queer people have had to deal with a lot more internal emotional shit, just in figuring out who they are. And because of that, I find that they are so much more generous with other people who are uncertain who they are and uncertain what they want and are willing to just talk about that. Whereas if you get together with a swinger couple, they may expect you to fuck them on night one, and you may want to fuck them, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you also may just want to make a connection and then see where that goes. So I can tell you, living in this, very near this neighborhood, there are a lot of awesome, awesome non-monogamous poly swinger people, queer people. I'll give you my card. You can help you find them.
Out in the West Suburbs, there also are too. So, like, we are everywhere. Yeah.
Okay, so as opposed to everyone else here, I am not being with sex at all. I'm never even been kissed. All of my interest and exploration in the world has been purely theoretical and online so far. Reading as much as I can, listening to your podcasts, which are great, by the way.
Thank you.
But every time I consider stepping my foot out into the real world, not even expecting anything to happen, I'd just be thrilled to observe, learn, maybe get some fantasy material if I'm lucky. Every time I've looked online for advice about how to find a space to do that or how to do it, stay the hell away. We don't want you. How you need to walk before you can run.
Yeah.
How do you know you are kinky or open or in the BDSM animal, et cetera, et cetera, if you haven't had any vanilla experience? You need to have a ton of vanilla experience before you can even think about this world.
So I just want to challenge the premise of what people are telling you by saying you need to have vanilla experience before. I find that I had to deprogram myself from a lot of vanilla experience. It's not like I don't enjoy having sex with my wife, right? I obviously do, right?
I'm glad you caveated that.
Right, yeah. I absolutely do, and that is a very heterosexual, vanilla experience when we're just the two of us in our bedroom with our kid downstairs when we're trying to be really quiet, right? So I get it. But getting a lot of vanilla experience is not one way to address that.
What I would offer is knowing that a lot of those environments are very sexually charged. And so just being in that space for yourself of being able to recognize this is a sexually charged atmosphere and finding, and this is the challenging part, finding that sex positive community, that sex positive place that says, absolutely, come one, come all, come join us. And wow, let's talk about your experience. Your experience is different from mine, but it's all valuable and amazing. And it's not about how much sex you're getting. It's not about your vanilla experience or your kink experience. It's about you are a beautiful, amazing human being who is here and has your sex in your way, whatever that looks like in all of the ways. And we value that. And where do you want to go from here?
Poly support groups. I can name a few of them in Chicago off the top of my head. It's a place where people come to disassemble some of the relationship stuff, to talk about things, stuff like that. And you can go and you can be there and you can just sit and listen. And sitting and listening is okay. You know, if you go into a space more geared toward play and you end up being, I'm using air quotes when I say this for the people listening, that guy that's kind of sitting in the corner, not talking, being awkward. It's like, we don't know anything about him. We don't know if the space is safe with him. But if you go into the non-sexual spaces and get to know the people there and they understand that you may not have experience, but you're eager to learn, you're willing to learn, you're coming with your heart open, you're coming to really absorb that, then people understand that it's okay that you're not talking, and they'll get to know you, and then you can maybe migrate over time into those experiences. You had a comment?
Speaking up for the audience member, there's a lot of focus here on swinger parties and things like this. We socialize with a group of people who identify as swingers, and we share their lives and get to know them for months, 2 years, maybe even 5 years, before any play, and maybe never. And so the connection isn't based on any expectation. I don't know if that's typical or not, but it's not just meeting at a party. It can also be a glacially slow process.
I totally agree with you. Early on in my swinging, I did have an expectation that things would move very quickly into play. And then I started liking the people that I played with, and then I liked their friends and realized I wasn't necessarily playing with everybody. And we kind of moved around as a bit of a community. Yes. And thank you for saying so. Thank you.
One more little thing. The nice thing about the poly community is there are more spider webs connecting people than in any other community, really. Yeah. So if you meet someone awesome who's poly and you get along really well, there are a lot of people probably that they can introduce you to. The community is there. It's just a little harder to find than mainstream communities.
Plus, now I know what Gwen Stefani was talking about. It's time for a commercial now, right?
Time for a commercial.
But you know, the thing is, these things exist in most metropolitan areas. Mm-hmm. And if you are in the middle of rural America or the world, you may have to drive a little ways to meet a community like that. But if you live in a city, there even the most conservative cities are going to have pockets of queer and weirdos. And you just have to seek them out, really.
You know what, though? If you do live in the country, there is something that's easier.
I feel like I know what he's going
to
say.
Oh, no, don't say it. No, I finally got it. No.
I think what's great is
it may not be what Dylan actually intended, but now we're all thinking of something.
Yeah, tell us what you were thinking.
I thought it was going to be farm animals.
It was not consensual.
I understand where you're... Okay,
it was stereotypical. It. It was problematic. It was not consensual.
Farm match.
I know.
Dylan, what is the farmer dating website?
Oh, farmersonly.com. You don't have to be lonely
at farmersonly.com. Farmersonly. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you were going to say.
It's commercial break time. When we come back, there is lots more talk and lots more questions, so stay with us. It's anal August. That's right. It's that time of year when it's all about the rear. And yes, the pleasure chest has got all the gear. But there's so much more to anal sex than just plugs, beads, and prostate massagers. Whether you are embarking on your very first anal odyssey or you're a certified ass master, the pleasure chest has tips and tricks to help you make the most of your anal adventures. First, there are 12 different sex ed classes all about the ass at stores this month. Can't make it to one? No worries. They'll be covering all things anal via their blog and social media. Everything from booty basics, advanced anal, to anal safety. Plus, there will be B-Vibe pop-ups in LA and New York throughout the month. You can get 20% off all B-Vibe products, online only, or get a free beginner anal toy with every purchase of $50 and up in stores. Go to pleasurechest.com and celebrate Anal August. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Are you passionate about sex education and want to build your career in the field, but you're not sure how to do it? Or maybe you've begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid. My Sex Educator Bootcamp training programs, Level 1 and 2, are now available online, and they are great for sexuality professionals of all kinds. You'll learn how to develop your vision and mission and communicate them effectively. Discover tools for branding, marketing, networking, media coverage, building your audience, and more. The number one question people ask me is, Tristan, how did you get involved in sex education, and how can I? Well, today's the day to find out. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the mega crossover episode of Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set, recorded live at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. The conversation just kept getting better, so let's rejoin it.
Speaking of dating sites, gosh, what a great segue.
Speaking of dating sites.
I don't know if anyone.
Tristan, that is a good segue. It is. Actually, it's better than
I don't know if anyone has seen the shirt that I'm wearing, which is #open. All this swag, dental dams, pins, stickers, t-shirts, and condoms.
Just don't store the pins with the condoms and dental dams.
Shut up. You wear the pins, you store the condoms.
So it's essentially a dating app that means to center and serve folks who aren't feeling that well served by other dating apps, committed to LGBTQIA folks, non-monogamous folks, swingers, polyamorists, people of color, disabled folks, body positive folks.
Plus, I've been there for like all 3 days, so you can find me.
One of the things that makes it different, there are 24 choices for sexual orientation, and there's also over 20 choices of gender. We're really meaning to capture folks who feel like these boxes are too limiting, are too confining. The idea is we have to get everyone on so that there's all these great people to date and meet for friendship and hook up with and
do
whatever.
So what Tristan is saying is she's expecting that by the time you all get home,
yeah.
You have signed up for #open.
Yeah. You can create a single profile of just yourself and also a couple profile where you join two single profiles. Yeah. First of all, reveals consent better, which is like, I'm not just talking to some dude who says his wife wants to fuck me. Right. Actually, there's a picture of her. She's a real person. I can also message her. So that's my plug for that. Oh, desire, right.
And what desire is a sex-positive resort. People used to call it sandals for swingers. It's a really, really nice resort, and you can also have sex
almost
everywhere.
And you can be naked almost anywhere.
And it has a hot tub the size of this seating area here with a bar on one end.
And a pool.
And a pool. And we managed to get them to build a dungeon for us. We sent down plans.
Yep.
I give a shout out to JV Altheros from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, because he sent down plans and they built St. Andrew's crosses and flogging benches. Yeah. So it's literally one of the places that I most want to be in the world. The food is great. The drinks are great. The staff is great. But our community is really what is amazing about our trip. The community on this trip, the people who come here, come there year after year, are so loving and generous and giving of their time and compassion and fucking hot. They are really fucking hot.
And I don't just cut you loose.
No.
Paradise.
I mean, speed dating.
We do all kinds of awesome educational. I mean, we're in paradise.
Sexocational.
Oh, gosh.
You don't like
that? Sexocational. Yeah, absolutely. anything that sexes something, I have to just like, yeah, that's okay.
The first year I went, I was excited / scared that I was going to be around all these heterosexual people, right? Because the majority are male, female couples, cis men, cis women. So I was like, oh, heterosexuality, not usually right in the rearview mirror. So I got there and I was like, where the fuck are all the straight people? What, could anyone just stand up and say, I'm straight? Because
Dylan is happy to say that.
Except he has had sex with men.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So it's like a little, yeah, no. If you want to self-identify straight, I'm totally there for you. But what I mean is as you get to know these folks, they are male female couples who don't feel like they fit in traditional ways. Yeah. And that can be all the way to both of them are super bisexual, or just they have non-traditional genders, or they feel like they've never fit into the really rigid gender boxes that we give people, or they're cross-dressers, or they're kinky, or they have fetishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, once I met everyone, I was just literally like, is there anyone here who's straight? And that's why I also consider it a really queer, positive place, because there still aren't enough self-identified queers for me, because I want to go 50-50. Recruiting.
We're trying.
I know, but the space is so inclusive, and it's welcoming and friendly, and it's easy to meet people. It's easy to talk to people. I can't say enough good things about it. I really can't.
And if you want to find out more, you can go to
swingsetdesire.com. A lot has been said about it, kind of that straight cis men can be a problem, right? I'm a straight cis man, and I don't take offense when I hear that, because I understand that there are straight cis men that are a problem. I don't know if people are listening or people are here that kind of wince when they hear that. I did for a while until I realized what was going on. I know I have been that in the past, and I did some work so that I'm not. I think that there are a lot of straight cis men out there that may wince when they hear that stuff, but they're only a little bit of education and a little bit of self-exploration away from not being one of those cis men. It's not the hardest thing in the world. It's really the least that you can do to be a good human is to do some work on yourself so that you're not one of those straight cis men.
I love that. And some of my best friends are cis straight white men. I mean, I fuck cis straight white men. Like, I don't, okay? It's not, when we say cis straight white men, because this happened, someone was tweeting about this recently. Like, they were like, you know, it's not really all men. It's just like those really toxic masculine, hyper-masculine, like bad men. And I wrote back and said, it's actually not about individual men. What I'm concerned about is a system of oppression. Systems, intertwined systems of oppression. Right? It's not about, I'm not saying to a fellow white person, you're racist and you can't tell me otherwise, but you are, and so am I. Right. I'm saying you benefit from white supremacy, whether you want to or not. And it's just, the system is what has to be dismantled. And so, yes, Dylan's like, I'm doing my internal work, right, to be a better man. And I've seen that, and I know it to be true. And it's also that that there are systems working here to oppress everyone. So it's not about you. Like, I feel like these people get caught up in, you were telling me from the stage that I'm a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even know you.
I think I know what that is, though, because when I hear it, and in the past, I think about everything that I have done in my life that made me a bad person, mm-hmm. that made me fit that description. When the Aziz Ansari thing came up, mm-hmm. I thought about the times in my life when I've been in relationships and I've pushed sexually or for someone to stay who didn't really want to, you know, and that's the conversation that we need to be having without immediately bristling and fighting back against it. Is odds are we have all done shitty things. So when people are talking about the shitty things that humans do, that men do, we can reflect on those things that we do and that whether or not we still do them, because if we do, that's what we need to work on.
There needs to be some internal work done beyond just, we put all the people of color on the postcard, so I think we're good now. And there's one on our board, so that's person in power, person on the postcard, people presenting. I think we've got our bases covered. That is all really important, and it behooves us to do the internal work to break down and confront the shit that we have grown up with and internalized, because the other stuff is like kind of window dressing. One of the features of white fragility is when someone criticizes you to go into this sort of shame spiral or to go straight to defensive, right? I want people to take a deep breath and fight as hard as they can to stay out of the shame spiral, to stay out of defensive posture. Just take a fucking deep breath and listen to someone who's saying they're being harmed tell you about it.
And if it's you that's harmed the person, just apologize and be cool.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't have to be a big deal. Just be cool.
One of the reasons Swing Set Takes Desire yeah. is such yeah. a safe space. There are men who identify as bicurious. There are men who identify as bisexual. There are men who identify as heteroflexible. There's Dylan.
Hey, that's me.
And, your own classification.
And I think traditionally, not just in swinger spaces. I have right. seen it in kink spaces. I've seen it in polyamorous spaces. Bi men are often closeted because they are shamed. They're told that you're all those other desires, fuck my wife, fuck this, orgy, that those are all great, but that one, leave it at the door. Right. Check it at the door. Men have a lot less freedom in general to explore a kind of sexual fluidity that we all have inside of us. And as we add layers of oppression to that, you have even less freedom.
We've got to take another break. I promise it will be painless, and we will be back soon. Low libido, a waning sex drive, trouble with arousal, trouble with orgasm. I don't know how many times we've talked about these issues on the show, and it's because they're really common, especially for women. How to deal with these issues? It's complicated, which is why when they tried to create a Viagra for women, it didn't work. And as I've gotten older, my own desire and arousal process has changed dramatically. I've tried my fair share of these so-called arousal gels, and I never know what the big deal is. Omax sent me their O-Shot CBD arousal oil to try out. It contains 8 natural botanicals and full-spectrum CBD. I put a few pumps of it onto the external part of the clitoris and labia, and immediately I felt a kind of tingling sensation, which lasted for about an hour. But beyond tingling, it can increase stimulation, circulation, arousal, and lubrication. We know that CBD increases relaxation, blood flow, and euphoric sensations, and that in turn can increase your arousal and orgasmic response. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off O-Shot plus free shipping. This discount applies to any product site-wide. Just go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter code Tristan20 to take advantage. This is omaxhealth.com. Enter code Tristan20 to get 20% off.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set crossover episode, recorded live in May at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. I felt like we could talk all night. It was just really fun, and the audience members shared so much. I felt like many of them poured their hearts out, so I want to thank everyone who was at that event and who was brave enough to speak. Let's get back to it.
You're an out bi man.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get there? Well, besides the blowjobs and stuff. I'm sorry.
They're the
pressure. The blowjobs help.
The blowjobs did help. The blowjobs help.
No, it does,
besides
it,
that.
It definitely helped.
Okay.
I mean, I spent a lot of time growing up wondering if I was gay. It wasn't problematic in that I didn't want to be gay. It was problematic for me in that I was worried that I didn't understand myself, that I thought I was one thing, but I'm not. And because I was vaguely interested in men and not the way I was interested in women. So it didn't make much sense to me. And when my ex-wife and I opened up for it to become swingers, she discovered bi. And it was like whole identity just came pouring out among other fluids. because of that, I thought, well, maybe this is finally that opportunity to explore this. And I had multiple experiences that I didn't like. And then I finally sort of found my groove with it. What was really amazing and what really is constantly amazing me about being openly bisexual as a man is how many other men will then admit to you that they are curious or openly bisexual who say straight in their profiles. And I understand why they say straight in their profiles, because the first couple I ever interacted with in non-monogamy said, leaned in and said, by the way, you may want to change that to straight. Because I put bi curious.
Oh.
And he's like, you can be bi curious, but you may want to change that to straight if you want to get pussy. Mm-hmm. And so really what that has led to was this, I am far more empathetic toward everyone because of going through this experience of trying to desperately to figure out who I am and what I'm into. And so when we started Desire, the first year we hosted, I got a blowjob at the side of the hot tub. And then that gentleman who gave it to me was asked by a 50-year-old drunk woman, so what are you, some kind of fag or something? And that was like, oh, right. Just because it's okay in my space doesn't mean it's okay in the space around.
Because this wasn't a takeover.
No, this was when we were
25
couples
group.
At that point. Yeah. And so every year we have worked really hard to sort of shove the boundaries out in this space. And the reason I identified so much with Chris's queer play parties were because they were open to this. You know, it wasn't that suddenly all the guys were bi, it was just that they didn't care that I was if they weren't. And that was always what it was they seemed put out by the fact that I was bi. And that came from both cis straight men and gay men were also put out by the fact that I was bi, because clearly I didn't understand myself and I was just on the road to gay and took a little pit stop over here in bi. Because they fucking did that because they were not brave enough to come out as what they really were, which is gay.
Or they are ever evolving and changing human beings.
Also that. But it's really frustrating to be told you're not what you are. And I think that's the thing that, swinging community is like all women are bi. Even the ones who aren't, they're going to be told they're bi. And that's unfair too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the opposite way for men. Even if you're bi, you're going to be told, no, you got to be straight here. This is a straight space for you. I will do everything I can in every community, in every event I work in, and everything I throw to just remind people that sexuality is a spectrum. And I don't personally believe that anyone is 100% on either direction. And like Dylan classifies as Dylan. not straight.
Right.
He is not 100% straight.
No.
He is Dylan, and that's maybe 98.8% pure, but yeah. He is Dylan.
Wait, so are you saying that there's a Breaking Bad reference here that I haven't quite
gotten. No, that was a Dove soap
reference. Formerly heteroflexible, once heteroflexible.
The person formerly known as heteroflexible.
you're bi-comfortable, Dylan.
Well, that's another thing I was going to say. Is like, that's the other thing about kind of the amazing people at Swingset is that then you meet people who are straight, who identify straight, and who are a cis woman and a cis man, and they're married, and they're pretty normative, right? But they're totally down with everyone being everything else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like a certain kind of straight couple doesn't feel alienated in that space.
Right.
They're like, no, these are my friends. These are my people. I'm doing my thing, and my thing is monogamy, and my thing is this. You know what I mean? But it's like they're super comfortable in the space, and no one is going, oh, my God, that's too much.
And, you know, much like Chris Pence, since we keep calling him out here, I think that once we're comfortable running our own parties in our own homes and spaces that we find as a community, whatever, we can make that happen, too. All we need to do is set a clear expectation for people and put out the invite and say, specifically, like, are you a bi man? You are welcome here. Mm-hmm. So just take the question away.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, those cis straight couples feel there are folks that are like, I know I have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
I know that my pre-programmed, you know, I saw, you know, my factory settings, you know, Bradford, you know, my factory settings are not what I want. So can I come to these spaces and explore for myself in a way, because I'm coming with the intention of, I know I have work to do, and it's not on someone's backs or anything like that. It's very much coming in with that intention of this is a safe space for everyone in that way. And I think that's having that room for growth and that room for acceptance of everyone, and that is rare. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Truly rare that we can all exist side by side in that way and not be in our community silos.
Right.
That the kinksters are there with the, you know, I mean, and I struggle with even saying labels at this point, because I feel like everyone is such their own, you know, swirl that there's acceptance of that. And how fantastic is it to learn the universe of a human being? That this person is unique in their own way, and regardless of what it is label-wise that we have to use in order to communicate with each other, that we get to learn these folks, we get to learn each other in a way, and make mistakes when we ask questions. Say the wrong thing, say the wrong pronouns, say the wrong everything, and the person says whatever they need to say, and they're still there with you in that interaction. It's powerful.
One thing that's really important, and this is the hard thing, is that the more people know someone who's bi, someone who's poly, someone who's open, someone who's gay, the less weird it is for them. And so the hard work we need to do in our community is the same hard work the gay community has done for so long, which is stand up and say, I'm me and this is who I am. And so, you know, if you are bi or bi curious, it is really hard, especially in the fucking swinger community, to be willing to say that. But the more you're willing to say that, the more you'll meet other people willing to say that. And I've been asked, has it changed since I've been doing, I came out on National Coming Out Day 9 years ago on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it I don't know if it's changed. But I know my community seems to have a lot more bi people in it, and the people who talk to me are more bi, so it might have changed, or it may just be the fact that an openly bi person gets responses from other bi people. And so it is very much worth it if you can. I know not everybody can. I know it may not make you safe to come out as who you are. But if you can, that's the heavy lifting that those of us with privilege, like myself, a cis white man, can do to so those who don't have the privilege can then feel more comfortable standing up as well.
Isabel. Hi, everyone. Earlier, you were talking about, we're talking about bi men and how they're basically ostracized, right? It's not somehow not accepted, but you also talked about how it's almost expected that all women in the swing community are bisexual, even those who are not. And so there's this default when you go to a swingers party that if you're the woman, whether you're a single woman there or you know, the partner, you're going to play with other women. Yeah. I mean, yes, I can do it. Honestly, that's not really what turns me on. Mm-hmm. How do I navigate that when what I really want is to have sex with multiple guys that are there? Mm-hmm. Or is that basically another place for me to be?
Women being expected to be bi, that... I hear you 100% and have felt that feeling. I'm bisexual myself and don't mind being kind of the exploratory woman or the this or that. Like, sure, but I really feel like this does come back to consent.
Yeah.
And it comes back to consent and it comes back to your pleasure. And I feel like when you're having those conversations with those folks that you might be interacting with, that there might be someone else's pleasure, whether it's hers or his of her, or if you will, that, you know, oh, I want this and it would be performative or whatever mm-hmm. it would be. I go back to, if we're not all in our authentic pleasure, there is a dissonance, there's a static mm-hmm. that it's not pleasurable.
Right.
And so really being very clear with your own boundaries. So there's the boundary piece, which always feels like, you know, it's a pushing a hand away. What I like to do is step up into, this is my pleasure. It's not a no, it's a yes. I really enjoy men. I really would love to have these three men have their way with me. You are a beautiful woman. If you want to come sit up near my head, if it's your pleasure, and be, you know, kind of the flow master of this beautiful thing, absolutely, but I prefer you don't touch me. And then you set those boundaries. I feel like focusing on the pleasure first really turns it into a, wow, I really want to give this beautiful, amazing human her pleasure. And I don't want to interrupt her pleasure by doing something that is a boundary crossing, isn't consensual. And I find that piece of the puzzle with the women having more flexible boundaries with one another or with men, it really speaks to, are you in a place that really lives and breathes consent culture? And that is the most important piece of the puzzle, I find, is it's pleasure, you know, it's pleasure positive and it's consent culture. And when someone interrupts that or disrupts a boundary, being able to say that this has disrupted my pleasure, it's not about you, it's about me in that moment, and having that conversation, it can be a little different when it's the, you know, cis women to cis women piece, because there is more, there can be more random affection, if you will, hugs and kisses mm-hmm. and all of that. So it's more normalized. So it's the exact opposite I would offer as the cis men experience from a bi perspective. And so being able to say, like, this is okay, but when I'm in my sexual space, like, I'd love to hug you here, but when I'm in my sexual space, this is my pleasure. Mm-hmm. That's important, because it's equally as valid as anyone else in the room setting their boundaries and being and living and breathing in consent culture.
And I'm just going to say there are many approaches and I'm not that nice.
okay.
Which is to say that, like, if someone said, hey, like, I want to know, what are you into? Right. Like, that's the first question I ask anyone and everyone. I mean, I don't assume that, like, every cis guy wants their dick sucked. You know, there are men in the world who, like, don't like blowjobs, right? So I just feel like this is all about assumptions and scripts, right? And I want to say, what are you into? And if someone says, I'm really into having sex with men, for me, I would be like, great, can I watch? Yeah, super. Yeah. But also, it's okay to just be like, oh, I think we're not a good match, or that's not really my thing. And again, it's like, great, thanks for telling me, mm-hmm. right? It's okay to say no. And if someone pushes back on you, like, what do you mean? You could fuck her pussy for a couple minutes. I'd be like, okay, so these are not my people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move on. You know what I mean? That they'll reveal everything in how they accept your no.
Sometimes you need to take breaks. Let stuff sink in. Take a breath. This is one of those times. We'll be back after we hear from our sponsors and advertisers.
It's anal August. That's right. It's that time of year when it's all about the rear. And yes, the pleasure chest has got all the gear. But there's so much more to anal sex than just plugs, beads, and prostate massagers. Whether you are embarking on your very first anal odyssey or you're a certified ass master, the pleasure chest has tips and tricks to help you make the most of your anal adventures. First, there are 12 different sex ed classes all about the ass at stores this month. Can't make it to one? No worries. They'll be covering all things anal via their blog and social media. Everything from booty basics, advanced anal, to anal safety. Plus, there will be B-Vibe pop-ups in LA and New York throughout the month. You can get 20% off all B-Vibe products, online only, or get a free beginner anal toy with every purchase of $50 and up in stores. Go to pleasurechest.com and celebrate Anal August.
Hey, Dylan, guess what?
What's that, Ginger?
I'd love for you to come with me on this amazingly sex-positive, queer, and polyam-friendly, kink-aware, all-inclusive resort vacation in paradise.
Oh, really? This trip sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Ginger A. Bentham stamp of approval?
It has the sexiest name. It's called The Swing Set Takes Desire. It takes place in Cancun, Mexico, at Desire Riviera Maya, November 2nd through 9th, 2019. This trip to paradise is co-hosted by Javi and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Bradford and Angela from the By the By podcast, and special guest Tristan Taramino, author, podcaster, and creator of excellent ethically produced porn. And you can find more information at swingsetdesire.com.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Get with the times. Everybody knows about swingsetdesire.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set is hosting its 8th annual trip to paradise. Drop your information in the form at swingsetdesire.com and boom, hot tub happy hour.
No way. I can go there and come there too. There's this super hot harness I've been dying to use.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to swingsetdesire.com and book your trip to join us for the Swing Set Takes Desire, November 2nd through the 9th, 2019.
All right, Dylan, I'm on it. Swingsetdesire.com.
You'll be glad you came.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set collaborative episode. Let's keep it going.
In my mind, it gets a little bit more complicated when it turns to the emotional and psychological. I started in the swinger world like 15 years ago. I evolved into kinky, then I tried bi, then I came back. The whole journey, 15 years is a long way. But there is certain moments in life that you say like, okay, I need some people that might be going through the same path or have done the same road, and they don't want to fuck you. I mean, if it happens, then it's fine. I don't have nothing against fucking other people. It's just that sometimes you don't want somebody to fuck because that you can get easy. There are points in life where the physical part, you have it under control. It's just that your mind or your soul or your body needs somebody that understands. And you can pay a fortune to a shrink or whatever, and he's going to go like 2 hours later and he's still like,
yeah, you don't want to be in the, yeah. You don't want to be teaching them about what you're doing, right? Like, I get that, yeah.
And it happened to me more than 4 times here in Chicago. Oh, and the shrink is like, you know that I cannot tell you what to do. Yes, I don't want you to tell me what to do, but you know, I need you to understand. So my question is, by any chance, you guys know kind of a little community or something that knows or deals more about people wanting to mentor or wanting to give more like a spiritual support, and I'm not talking religious, but you know,
sure.
Like,
yeah,
somebody that walks the path, because the only thing similar was some random email that I found in one of the parties, and it was just some crazy guy with a little boat in Lake Michigan. The only problem, it only works 4 months a year.
Right.
You get to talk to people in a close environment in the middle of the water, so nobody's judging. I'm tired of all these by men, 24, sexual orientation, genders, whatever. We're people. Now I hope we can say we're just people. No white, brown, this, just people. In this boat, there was people.
To address the first part of this, to find that community of people that you just want to talk to, it's hard to find a generic community like that isn't just single issue focused, like kink, like swinging, like polyamory. And so the way that I've done it is to start creating my own little communities. I find people that I like here, I find people that I like here, I find people that I like here, and I invite them to a barbecue. And then all of a sudden somebody else wants to host a barbecue, and somebody else wants to host a board game night. That's one of the things that I like to do, right? I wish I could say there is a community of non-monogamous people that just get here to talk. They exist, but they aren't putting the flag out there. And so you kind of have to do a little bit of your own work and talk to the people that you already like to find out what that is.
So I don't know if it's the right thing for you or not, but I do have an event that I run called How to Fall in Love in 36 Questions or Less. That's like based off of the 36 questions, like the love experiment. And so it's an opportunity to really connect with people, to talk deeply, to share your souls, to, you know, really open up and get vulnerable. And it is like completely clothing on and all of that, and specifically poly focus for the next round. But yeah, I do it for different like communities. I often do it for like queer women and stuff like that, just so people can have an opportunity to really, really get to know folks in a genuine and authentic way, without sex being the focus, but rather relating and getting to know like romantic relationships, and also getting to know people as friends. OurTouchPoints.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Sean Coleman Cuddles.
To your second point, it is really nice to get together with a group of people and just kind of be people. And I understand the desire for that. I want to just offer a paragraph of caution. There are people that have over time, sometimes their entire lives, have had their identities erased and have been made to feel like they don't matter or they should be something else. It's a hard thing to let go of when you've been told you should be something else, or you've been told you're not welcome in a space, to give up your identity, because then the only thing that you have at that point is your identity and the identity you share with the people around you that are that same identity. So like, I absolutely feel with my group of friends in my larger community that when I get together with them, the lines between race and gender and sexuality do tend to melt a little bit and disappear, and then they matter less between us. But to the people that identify as not cis, for the people that are that are different sexualities and different races, those differences are kind of a core part of our lives. And you are super well intentioned. And this is just me saying this is what I feel when I hear that, right? Like, it's the fact that I'm Latino matters to me because a lot of my people are under attack right now. Mm-hmm. Much love to you, and I seriously mean that. Just be a little careful when you say stuff like that. Like, I get the feeling that you want, and I feel the feeling that you want. So we can all get there.
I'll also say that poly groups, when you build a group of friends in poly community, we get together for lots of things that aren't sex, and it's all about like everything we.
Someone in the audience said most things, which is like we do a lot of not sex.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah,
true.
It's like there's just a lot of
sometimes, you know, sex isn't even remotely involved.
Yeah.
Pretty much every bit of community advice comes down to there is work in finding a community, and you will likely wander into one or two communities that are not the right fit. Mm-hmm. It comes down to knowing yourself well enough to know when you are not in the right place, and then being willing to continue to look for that community. I didn't find it accidentally. It was constantly meeting people and then asking them to bring people and then asking them to bring people. And then sometimes you grow too fast and you have people putting used condoms under pillows and you have to pull back and say, okay, we need to vet these people better.
That's because you use the waterfall method instead of the agile method.
That's right. Yeah. So it takes effort to find a community, but that's what we are all looking for. And like everybody in this room wants and craves community, and especially as what I always call the strange and unusual people. Like Lydia Dietz said, we are strange and unusual, and we seek out strange and unusual. That's where we can find happy, and we can have these wonderful deep conversations. And we can also, the most amazing thing about opening up and finding a community in non-monogamy is you're not repressed the same way most communities are. Most communities are terrified to talk about sex. Mm-hmm. You might accidentally let slip that you find your buddy's wife hot. Oh God, that would be terrible. You center yourself in what I always call the real world. And in our communities, you find places where you can truly be you And that's the most valuable thing I've ever found.
We're going to wrap it up, people. Thanks, everyone, for coming.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
I may never again have an audience of 10,000 people, but you know what? Today, today I did.
It's so special. So
luckiest man.
I hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed making this episode. I want to remind you that you can find and listen to Life on the Swing Set at lifeontheswingset.com and on social media at swingsetlife. Their yearly sex-positive vacation in Cancun is in November at swingsetdesire.com and Swing Set Desire on social media. Cooper is at Cooper S. Beckett. Dylan is at Dylan the Thomas. And Ginger is at Ginger Bentham. I am at Tristan Terramino on all social media platforms. Join us next week, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Terramino on Voice America Variety.